It's time for you to define your brand. This podcast is designed to arm you with the tools and confidence needed to build a standout brand in today's marketplace. I'm your host, Matt Crane, and I'm honored to be joined by my co-host and CEO of Rush Impact Marketing and Rush Impact Media, Jeremy Warner.
Matt, it's awesome to be here, and I'm excited to share and engage with our audience, listeners, and special guests that will be joining the show. Most importantly, I'm excited to help all of you take charge of your brand. Matt, you know what we say around here, your brand, your responsibility.
And action.
Well, I just got off the stage, and of course nothing went according to script, but in the end I think I portrayed my point.
This week on Define Your Brand, hosts Matt Crane and Jeremy Warner welcome former fashion model, actress, turned entrepreneur, and elite shooting sports competitor to discuss her early years in mainstream media to now becoming the cornerstone of the Cardone Enterprises empire. Ever wonder what it's like to live with Grant Cardone? This episode will answer that very question.
You want me to dig a ditch? I'm digging a ditch. You're gonna pay for my manicure after, but I'm digging a ditch. Whatever that man needs, whatever you need, whatever I can do to support him, to help you, I'm freaking doing it.
Let's all welcome Elena Cardone to the Define Your Brand podcast show.
I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, the time has arrived. And I don't know about you, but it's been a long time since I've been nervous to get behind the microphone and have an interview. But every now and then, there's those opportunities when you meet that power lady, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And you know that if you don't get nervous, it's not going to be great, right? So we got Elena Cardone, ladies and gentlemen, on Define Your Brand podcast, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Facebook Live. The comments are going to go bananas. I already know they are.
Yeah.
But Elena, you know, several years ago, I spent the last $50 I had on how to make millions on the phone. And since then, the Cardone family has led me to where I'm at today with Rush Impact Media. And at the 10X Growth Conference, you said one very powerful thing to me, and I actually mentioned it to you when I met you, is that what I truly understood was that I have a real ethical responsibility to do whatever it takes for my family. So I really want to say that I'm truly humbled to be a part of this interview with you today. And more than that, just so thankful that you made that so crystal clear to me during your talk at the 10X Growth Conference.
Wow. Thank you so much for getting that out of the speech. Really means a lot to me.
I made more than that, but that hit me right in the mouth. And I'm so grateful for that.
Awesome.
And, you know, this is a moment that I've been waiting for a long time. It's so real for me because it's an opportunity for me to interview my mentor's wife, his best friend, and the foundation to the Cardone family. And your speech at the 10X Growth Con changed me as a husband, father, we talked about this, friend, and an employer to my staff. And be able to ask the questions that we're getting ready to ask changed my life, and I know it's going to impact this audience tremendously.
Without question.
So we're looking forward to this. You shared a story with us at the 10X Growth Con. It's the perfect story that represents whatever it takes. I was moved by this story on how Sell or Be Sold was written. Grant said to you that we're going to die. Will you please share with the audience that story and how this book here changed everything?
Well, yeah, I can share that story. What happened was it was around 2008, and we were under a massive lawsuit. We had never been sued. We've never sued anyone. That's not our style, lawyers, or, you know. Anyway, it was really a heinous lawsuit because it was by people that we believed were friends. It was just, it was horrifying on a lot of levels, especially the amount. And then 2008 happened and the crash, and I just got pregnant, and we were watching television, and there was the whole Lehman collapse. And I said to Grant, what does this mean for us? And he said, we are going to die. And like, for, you know, the man who's my rock and, you know, my soldier, my, you know, everything to me, for him to, like, I couldn't even believe he said those words. He was like, we are going, I was like, what do you mean? And he was like, we are going to die. And in that moment, I was just like, no, like, I don't die, you know? And I looked at him and I said, do I look like death to you? Like, no. And I really didn't know what else to do other than, you know, send him down to his hall, you know, to his office, you know? And I said, you're going to go down to your room and you're going to figure this out. And you're not going to come out of your room until you have a solution for us, because you made promises to me. You said you were going to do whatever it takes to take care of me and us and our family. And like, we dying does not equal that. So he went down to the end of the hall, and, you know, it was about 3 hours, and I was a little worried, a little concerned, because he was not coming out of the room. And finally he comes out of the room, you know, and God, it chokes me up every single time I say this story. And he puts a manuscript in my hand, all these papers. And I was like, what's this? And he was like, you know, I figured it out. I figured it out. I just wrote my first book. It was called at the time, actually, Sell to Survive. Later we changed that. He changed the title to Sell or Be Sold. But he said, it's Sell to Survive. It's a book. You're not going to make, it's not going to, you know, bring us a ton of money, but I know what I did wrong and I know how to correct it. I'm going to get us out of this. You know, he had been doing just one industry, and just going to that one group that he knew. And from that moment on, he decided to expand and really reach outward on a horizontal level. And so that's what he did. Ever since then, he's just opened up all these other products and streams and ways of other people, communication lines on how to get known, like, around the world, and not just dependent on this one source of income for us. So that moment was a defining moment in our life, because we really came together as a team, willing to do whatever it took. You know, I was willing to end my career, like, just get all assets behind him and to, like, push us forward.
I love it.
You know, and the thing I love about this is that, you know, you guys are at such a pinnacle in your life, but yet you're so humble and grounded to your core, never losing sight of anything that could possibly happen. And it's so profound to me, because most people get to that zenith and they just forget about all the stuff they went through in the past. And when it pops up on them, it's like, oh, wow, this again, right? So what you said, and you repeated it over and over, and it's the motto that Grant preaches to everyone. And there's a lot of people that say this, whatever it takes. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if a lot of people truly understand, as a family unit. So let's talk to the families out there right now, okay? That as a family unit, it's still that cluster of whatever it takes, right? Kids, wife, husband, surroundings. So when you say whatever it takes, what does that truly mean to you? And can you explain to the wives out there one situation where you've really had to do whatever it takes for Grant?
Whatever it takes literally means whatever it takes. I mean, I trust this man so much because he's worthy of trust, first of all. He's worthy of trust. He's earned trust. He's proven himself. So that's what I said at the seminar. If Grant were to tell me to dig a ditch, I'm digging a ditch. I mean, I hate roaches, but if he said you have to go into a room of roaches, I would find a way to gut up and go in a room of roaches, you know? I mean, it means if he needs to be on the road for a month or whatever, it means I'm going to not have the sob story about I can't be held for a month. It means I'm going to do I'm going to get the kids involved and say, hey, you know what? You've got a job here and this role and this family. Papa needs to be away and we need to guard the fort and give them a sense of earning a right rather than being abandoned. Like, no, this is actually my job. I have a post. I'm going to protect the household. I'm going to get my grades. I'm going to be a good person or whatever the guidelines are to support Papa being gone so that when he comes back, you know, we've got his back on that. Like, we become like a group, a family, and we've done that more times than you know, not. I mean, like, Sabrina and Scarlett know that they have roles in this family. You know, they have expectations to be Team Cardone. And when they're not Team Cardone, it's like, hey, you know what? Like, you can do that. You can flip out. You can be angry. But like, right now, you got to do that in your room because, like, you don't need to like contaminate the rest of the family. Like, go handle yourself. I'll bring you some food right now. Like, because I know I get cranky when I don't eat. And when you're ready to come out, dude, we're all cool again, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Worthy of trust.
Yeah.
Powerful. Absolutely powerful.
And he's earned the trust.
Yes.
And the thing that I love, that the statement that you made, is the whole family's on board. Just not yourself, just not Grant, but also Scarlett and Sabrina. They're both on board. They know their part. They understand. And that goes into my next question. And this goes into discipline. And Elena, you said that you don't wait for motivation, that you go off of discipline.
I'm not the fortunate ones. I know there are people out there that are blessed with motivation. And I wish I was that person. God, do I wish I was that person. Motivation does not come to me. I wait for it. I've waited an hour for it to hit me. It does not hit me. I have to use discipline. I'm not a fortunate, blessed person with motivation. I have to just, today, like, I did not want to do my workout, but I had to do it anyway, you know?
Well,
like, Grant makes difficult phone calls all the time. He has to use discipline, or maybe he's the lucky one. Maybe he's motivated. I don't know about him, but.
Well, I think over time, discipline takes over. You know, you have to teach yourself to be motivated. You got to have that passion that pushes you. But after you do something over a long period of time, it becomes a habit, and that mm-hmm. habit is your discipline. And what is one of your most important disciplines for you that you do daily?
I mean, other than, you know, working out and you know, trying to support Grant. What would you say to that?
What?
What do you think one of my disciplines is every day? I mean, everything I do, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but everything I do, I just, whatever it is at that moment, I'm all in. If I'm wife at that moment, I mean, maybe that's not a good example. I'm probably not a perfect
She's
wife.
She's magic,
but
man. She's magic.
Girl. Like, when I'm with the kids, I try to be all in, like 100%, like, you know, if I'm training with workout or a gun, or if I'm with my friends, I just try to be disciplined in that moment to like give everything, all I have at every single moment. Now, do I fall short of that? Sure. But that's my goal. That's my intention every single time. You know, if it's my purpose to help people, like it's open. Like, I try to just like give it my all. Is that kind of?
But let me just say, I have to add something to this. Okay.
Appreciate you guys having the books there, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're promoting everything. Hey, I promote this for life, baby.
Dude, that's a commitment, brother. You see that, Elaine?
That is awesome. That is awesome. Yeah, I know.
I appreciate you guys. So, look, Elena is she's an extremely happy person.
That's true.
She is just naturally happy. I am not naturally happy.
That's true, too.
Really?
But that's really her gift. I mean, she's got a gift, man. She's a very magical person. She doesn't do things with effort the way I do. I wish I had a lot of her attributes. They it just doesn't come naturally. She would probably say she likes some of that gut up stuff that I have.
That's so true.
You know, I don't think either one of us are naturally motivated.
Oh, but really? You heard that?
Yeah, yeah. I don't. I think me and her, the one thing we have in common, we do. We just gut up.
Yeah.
But true. I gut up a different way than she does, you know. And I think the bigger question is why. You know, why do we keep gutting up? It's what Matt said earlier. Like, why are we doing this at 9 o'clock? So somebody commented on my Instagram today. Actually, they said, you know, the real rich people don't show their cars and their jets and all that. I said, yeah. Let me tell you why though. They don't.
They got criticized
and hit on so many times. That's they're like, true. Shit, I'm just going to draw the freaking curtains on this show.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm going to go underground. And the only people I'm going to hang around are other rich people. That's why Bill Gates, you're going to see him with Warren Buffett, and you're going to see him with the Google boys. You're going to see him hanging around that little closed circle. And that's what me and Elena have in common. We don't want to be in the big rich circle only. So we both love people. Like, we truly love people of any age.
Well, hey, that doesn't speak for you, because you guys showed me just as much love spending my last 50 bones as somebody that bought Carlin University. So I agree with that statement wholeheartedly. And you know what? For everyone right now, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Facebook Live, we've got Elena Cardone in the house. And I got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not getting behind this true matriarch of the Cardone family, you got to get behind her, because I got to tell you, she's powerful, she's friendly, but boy, oh boy, will she teach husbands and wives and single men and women alike what it truly means to stand on purpose. And that's something that I'm so very grateful for to share with this audience and across all of our listening platforms. And, you know, for me, Elena, it's important to have someone like you that I can send my wife to, because her friends aren't going to be able to stand up and tell her what you said at 10X Growth Conference. They're not going to have that confidence. They don't have that belief system, you know, because they think everything's, you know, sunshine and rainbows all the time. And, you know, for me, how would you advise, you know, those women or let's go a step further, those stay-at-home dads right now that are supporting their wives that are out doing their thing? How would you advise them that are married to those entrepreneurial, out-of-control, crazy, big dreamers that really do deep down support their spouse in every way but are still trying to get on the same team? You know, how would you really say, hey, guys, this is how I was able to do it?
There's like a two-parter to that. First off, I would say it's really your job to sell the spouse, whether it's the male or the female, who's ever the entrepreneur. It's your job to sell the other one on the big picture and the big goal, instead of blaming them for not being on board and, you know, oh, want to give up in the marriage or the relationship. I think you're the failure. You're the one that's got to figure out a way to sell them on the goals, the dreams, the, you know, what are the rewards? I get rewards. We work together for things like, you know, the training and the shooting and everything I want to do right now. Those are rewards to me. Like, those are provided by Grant because of everything that we've done together. And, you know, and now I afford those luxuries. But like, what is it that the spouse wants, you know? And if they don't think they want money, it's your job to sell them on the fact that they really do. Money is choices. It's if some, you know, Grant says all the time, bad things happen to good people. Like, what if, God forbid, something happens to your child or your mother or your father? You should at least want to be the one to be able to step up and help, right? Like, find out what it is, that button or their passions or their goals or what excites them. Is it a trip? Is it a vacation? Is it a purse? Is it shoes? Like, what is the item? And figure out how you can deliver those or sell them on the idea of building the empire or being a power couple, or I don't know, because I'm not in that relationship, but it's really your job to sell them on getting on board. Now, if you have like a truly, you know, I do believe there's 2% of the population out there that really don't want to see other people win. You know, if you're unfortunate enough to be with one of those people, that's a different story. But chances are you're with a person that can just come around if you sell them. The second part of that story is, you know, back when Grant and I were first married, I gave up a lot of things because I perceived that's what I needed to do. I gave up shooting. I was a competitive sporting clay shooter at the time. Well, I gave that up to because I wanted to learn what it meant to be a wife and a mother. And so, and that took everything out of me. It really did. But when we were first married, Grant, with his recreational time, not with his work time, because with his work time, I would never interrupt that and say stop or be with me or whatever. But with his recreational time, if he chose to do other things with that than be with me, I took it very personally and I was unhappy with that. And I tried to correct it. It didn't correct. But, you know, I had to come to the realization for myself. So this is what I would tell those women, you know, what is truly unfair was for me to have expected him to give me my own happiness. Like, that's not fair to go make somebody else give that to you. So it wasn't until the fact where I had to go back and refine the things that, like, how I could make myself happy, not as an F you to him, but like as a truly on point purpose thing for me. Because when I'm happy, everyone is happy. I can make Grant happy. I'm not irritable with the kids. Like, things are good. So, you know, and it takes confront. Some people aren't willing to look at, you know, what is their responsibility on the whole thing. They just want to blame or make somebody else responsible for how they feel. So, you know, some of these things take time, but over time, if you're willing to keep confronting it with your spouse, we used to meet all the time, every Sunday. Are we on the same page? What do you want and need? What do I want and need? How can we deliver that to each other? And the wants and needs conversation was more like, how can we help, not everything you did wrong? I want this because you do this wrong. That's another thing where discipline comes in, like discipline, how to keep your mouth shut about, you know, stupid stuff. Like, you know, if you want to really make something work, you're going to have to learn how to focus on the wins and somebody else's strengths, ignore their weaknesses, unless it's a really big repeat offender type situation that needs to be dealt with. Just freaking let it go. Like, the goals and the purposes of a relationship and where you want to go have to be so big that they pull you out of your normal, everyday, mundane life. Like, I have no qualms about telling everyone, I want a freaking $1 billion. Why do I want $1 billion? Why do I need $1 billion? I don't, but it's my game. And it's who I think Grant is. And, you know, when I first told him I want $1 billion, he was furious at me. He was like, how can you expect that? And I do so much. Da, 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 da. And I just listened to him rant and rave. And that is so uncool. But when he stopped all of that, he knows I would be with him whether he had $1 or $1 billion. It's not, I need this. I'm not one of these chicks that's, although I like that stuff, I'm not really one of those. But I that was my game because that's how I know who he is. He's a big guy. He needs big games. And if I make him play small, guess who's going to get devoured? It's not you. It's me. I live with him. So I need to make his game so big that it makes him bigger. And I need a game so big that the little stuff, like, you know, everyone's got the little stuff. The little stuff bores me. It drives me insane. But every day that I think, you know what, where are we at with the real estate? We're just under 5,000 units. When we get to 10,000 units, we're at a billion. Where are we at? How do we get the next? Like, I'm constantly, you know, focusing on big stuff so that the little stuff, when he freaks out that stickers are on fruit, you know, that's like the common theme that I can think of every time. Like, then I can just bite my lip and go, you're right, honey, let's get the stickers off the fruit. You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I need big, you know, you got to think big, you know, it's like we get this shot, this opportunity in life. You know, and I never grew up with money. You know, I went to a kid birthday party this weekend in Miami, and they had these giant robot things blowing smoke. They had dance floors. They had cake tables. I mean, when I was a kid, they threw us in a backyard with some balloons. Like, you know, that was a big deal, you know? So I don't know. I went off purpose there, but anyway, get me back.
No, not at all. I mean, I love that. You know, I grew up the same way. You know, I grew up with a very, very poor family. We didn't have things. You know, I shared a bedroom with my younger sister. I lived in a trailer for most of my life. So, you know, I understand that you got to have that bigger picture because that's the only way that you're going to get anywhere. And for as long as I can remember, I've been that individual that has always thought big. You know, I never just wanted to just, you know, make it or have enough to make it. And, you know, it's been 20 years of just grinding and grinding and just pushing myself to get to a certain level. You know, 4 years ago, when I was introduced to Grant, I really, really did, you know, I thought I had everything under control. I thought I was doing well and had great success, but I really never understood that I had to go even wider than what I was doing. And I wasn't doing enough, and I felt like I was doing enough. But, you know, ever since then, my whole thought process has shifted. And, you know, you have to think differently. Everybody has to get on the same page. And that goes into my next question, talking about if you don't have big goals and you don't think big, you know, talking about building an empire. Like, I never grew up thinking about that. What's an empire? You know, it was myself, my dad, my sister, and, you know, that was it.
Yeah.
You know, we never thought about the bigger picture or, you know, 20 years from now, you know, where is your status going to be? And when you talked about at the 10X Growth Con, you talked about empire building. Why is it so important for every family that's listening, why they should work on their empire right now and build that empire?
Because whether they know it or not, they are having an empire. It is just, what does it look like? You know, is your empire the, you know, I cheat on my wife, I cheat on my husband empire? Is that what you want it to look like? You want your kids to see, you know, your parents not be able to make it through tough times? You want, like, what is it? What is the message? Like, one way or another, you are doing something. You're creating something. Is it something you're proud of, or is it something, you know? So why I brought this to the attention in the first place, it's because it's what I did in a situation to, like, really start to grow and expand as our family unit has in the last 10 years. It's because when I didn't, or I didn't have an awareness of that, it was just, life was normal. Like, I just lived a normal life, not being aware or not having any game to play. So why is it important? Because you're either playing small games, unaware games, or you can make a choice and say, I'm going to play this game and let's see where I can go with it. And let me see the people I can reach and the difference I can make, and how I can help my community, and how much can I give to charity, and how much can I take care of my family, you know, or whatever your games are. So why is it important? Because you're creating something right now, whether you know it or not. So do you choose to be total cause over it and go full blown and create the best effects you possibly can and just splurge on life, or be average? I mean, that's a game too. You know, that's a game that people are comfortable with, and that's something that makes people happy. And sometimes you can't take that away from a person because they'll kill you. They like that game. You know, there's people in, you know, my family, they like that game. I'm not going to make them wrong for that or take it away or say, you need to go build an empire. That's not real to them. I just let them be happy in the games they play, which are different games than mine. But anyone that's truly interested in, like, creating really big ideas and thoughts, and you have to think differently than normal people.
Love it.
Well, you know, man, what a profound statement, right? You have an empire already. What does it look like? Man, if that's not a gut check for everybody on planet Earth right now, I don't know what it is. Like, I literally just said to myself, okay, all right, thank you, Elena. That says a lot to me right now. I know how the conversation with my wife on FaceTime will be here shortly, right? But, you know, switching gears, okay? Man, we got into this serious mode for a minute, so let's switch gears for just a second. Let's talk about your true passion, which is, you say it all the time, which is shooting, competitive shooting. You know, that's your reward system, a great outlet for you. You're phenomenal at it, by the way. And, you know, so for all those out there that you know think it's all business all the time, it's grind. When and how did you really get involved with competitive shooting and that competitive level, and what really led you into that to that realm?
Well, there's a couple answers to that too. This is what I always say. You know, my father wanted two boys and he got two girls, and I was the youngest, so he made do. So my father was a shotgun shooter in the 60s and won a world champion. And so he got me into shotgun shooting. We used to do sporting clays all the time when I was a kid. And I just developed a love and a passion. You know, my father and I were really close. I was definitely a daddy's girl. And so I really attribute that to him. But then, blah, 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 blah. I did that competitively years ago. Then I gave that up. Ironically, 6 months ago, Grant wanted me to start carrying because I have a concealed license, but shooting shotgun is extremely different than pistol, iron sights. It's a different world. So I tried to do it once and I literally couldn't hit the paper. Like I just didn't think I had a talent in that area. But Grant wanted me to start carrying, and I felt really uncomfortable around a pistol, and it's not really concealable to walk around with a shotgun. So, I said, I don't feel comfortable. And so we have a guy who's retired special forces. He was a weapons sergeant who was willing to teach me how to shoot a pistol. And once I actually learned and had some training, it was like, it freaking bit on me so hard. Like, oh my God, that whole thing gets me jacked up. I love it so much. It freaking bit so hard. I was like, what am I going to do with this? I can't stand at a range and shoot at targets. Like, what's the next level? Like, what is there? You know? And so then, you know, my friends turned me on to 3-gun, which you all probably know about, tactical shotgun, the rifle, and then the pistol. And so I went on the first 3-gun on January 1st of this year, on a Saturday. The next Saturday I entered a tournament, which was hilarious. And I'm still new and I have a lot to work out, but now I've really hooked up with some amazing guys and girls, in the field who have been willing to train me. And it's just a world that is so beautiful. The guys and girls are so helpful and sincere and down to earth. They're my people. And you know, the sound of the steel, ding, ding. I mean, that's like freaking symphony to me. Like, I love it. So actually, my father originally got me in, and then Grant got me in again when he insisted I learn to conceal.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's a great story. Thank you for sharing that with us, because I know there's a lot of people out there that are afraid sometimes, especially with all the entrepreneurial grind. They're afraid sometimes to just share their down moments and their passion moments sometimes with the reward system. So, you know, it's fun to see you do that, and it's encouraging as well. So I loved hearing that.
Yeah.
And the sporting world and the shooting too. I mean, I know it sounds recreational, but for me, in the big story of the empire building, again, you know, there's discipline involved. There's actually hitting targets, which is rewarding. So I feel like it dovetails in to everything that I do. Just makes me stronger for Grant and our family unit, because when you do start going big and expanding, there's bigger problems. There are different problems. There are funner problems, but they're also like, that I have to have my mind right for. I have to be able to give Grant right advice, not irrational advice. If, you know, someone stabbed you in the back, or a deal didn't go through, or there's an upset, there's just mental strength that needs to be had when you're rolling with someone as powerful as Grant. You know, being the woman by his side, I have to be of comparable magnitude to be able to be his counterpart. So the shooting and the working out and everything I do, those aren't outlets. Those are actually things I use to make me stronger for Grant, if that makes sense.
Perfect sense.
Oh, it makes total sense. You know, anything, when you look at things as passion and stuff like that, we go back to the whole thing of creating habits. And it doesn't matter what habit it is, because, you know, I grew up, my dad was a drill sergeant in the Army, and I remember being 6 years old, him coming into my bedroom, I'm doing a military fold on the sheets, and he's bouncing quarters off the bed. You know, that's a discipline. Like, I don't do that now, but it was still a discipline at a younger age that I understood that made me mentally strong. And, you know, it made me the person who I am now. So, you know, just because, you know, with you shooting guns and everything like that, working out, you're taking the aspect of the training, the discipline, everything to that to make you mentally strong. And we come across all those things through life all the time. You know, everything is a challenge to make you mentally strong, to level up. And like you said, be strong enough and be the wife that Grant needs. You know, one thing that I have the most difficult thing with, and this question is going to really impact me, is, you know, you made the statement at 10X Growth Con that some people just don't want to win. And for me, I believe in people way too long. You know, I want to help them level up. I want to believe in them when they don't want to believe in them, and I want to help them. And for me, probably in the last 6-7 years, it's really impacted my business, because I've gone all in on individuals that I shouldn't have gone all in. And mm-hmm. I trusted and I believed in them way too long. Mm-hmm. And I know there's a lot of other business owners that run into the same situation. Mm-hmm. When do you think is the right time to let go? You know, when do you...
I've made this mistake so many times, especially early on, because I still believe in unicorns and rainbows. Like, that, I will never give that up, because that is part of what Grant was saying, which is a magic that I have, and no one's going to get rid of that for me. But I've learned to look at red flags, and I only need a few now. I've learned how to read people so much better now that I don't need to wait for the big bomb to go off anymore, where I'm picking bodies up off the ground anymore. Like, you know, there's a few, and it's like, you know what? I would almost rather take a chance and killing off a good person than go down the road with the idea that I had that if the person goes down the road long enough, they can cause serious damage to not only the family, but the business. And you know, every time I've looked at something and I've really looked at it, all the signs were there, but I made excuses for them, because I wanted the thing to work out so big. It was going to be so big and so awesome and so great that I was willing to overlook, or they're going to change, or they're working on this and blah, blah, blah. No, like, when you really know, like, you gotta get honest and cut it off immediately. Like, no matter how hard that is to confront and do, I guarantee you, just the discipline of doing that makes you a stronger person. And if you really do love and respect your family and your community and, you know, the people, your friends, you will do that. You will get rid of the people in your life that are no good, and you know who they are.
Awesome.
Well, you know, and I think that is something that so many of us struggle with, because when you put so much time and effort, if you're not really reaching your bigger goals, sometimes you don't look at the one person that could really be holding back a lot of those relationships, and that's yourself. And it's so important to look inward at that moment. And you just said it, you know when you know, but some people are so blinded to their own inner workings because they pretended for so long that maybe they just don't see it sometimes. And, you know, that's something that
I don't want to deal with the consequences. If it's an employee that's held a position, and sometimes it's like, oh, the idea of rehiring and retraining is something you don't want to deal with, so you just try to keep them there, and oh well, you make excuses for them, or you cover them, or you give them that one more shot. You know what? You're doing yourself in. I'm telling you, like, there's some people out there that seem amazing and smile, and they're great, and they're funny, and they're awesome, but And it's so hard to truly believe that there are some people out there that are evil until you've had to confront it. But sometimes there are those people that wear that mask so well, but really inside, underneath, they want to hurt you. They do not want your survival. And those are the people that you, I mean, man, once you discover that, you got to just gut up and like go through the, suffer the consequences, because those people can cause real damage.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know about the rest of you, but I am so honored that we had this opportunity, because, you know, for us, Elena, and we're super appreciative of Grant jumping in and making a cameo as well, because the two of us think so highly of him, and he's impacted us in such a big way that where we are right now, we have to say thank you to your family, because you guys truly have put us in the vehicle with the content, with the training, with the transparency that's allowed us to have the courage to step out and do a lot of these things, even fail forward, right? Which is an amazing thing. But, you know, I just want to say once again, for everyone that's on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, iHeartRadio, Pandora, and across our channels, follow Elena on Instagram, follow her on Facebook. You can hear her on the G&E show. You want to make sure that you stay in front of a lot that she has to say, because it will impact you no matter where you are in life, no matter what you do, and no matter how things are. It is so, so important that you get in front of this content. And I just want to say again, thank you so very much for giving us the opportunity to spend some time with you and sharing your night with us and, you know, this interview. This truly is impactful.
Well, you guys see this royal flush here?
Yeah, yeah.
You ain't getting one without a queen of hearts.
That's right.
Woo, strong.
That's right.
Look at the location of that thing too, right in the middle.
That's right. That's
right.
And when you get one, you better play it for the big pot. Okay, you get a royal flush and you don't get everybody pulled in, sucked in on that hand, you got to get everybody around you all in. Bust that pot up. Otherwise, you just walk away with a little bit. I got me a queen of hearts.
Love
fortify,
it.
Fortify the village. One of the biggest things I've learned from Grant is, you know, it's one thing to know your haters. They're the safest group because you know who they are. But it's really the ones that are willing to listen to the haters and then deliver the news to you over and over and over again. Those are red flag people to me. Like, you want somebody in your court who's got your back all the time, you know, that's not willing to listen to like natter, gossip.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you. This made a huge impact on me. And, you know, one thing I want to share, you know, Grant has made a huge impact on me for the last 4 years. So much of an impact that I went and got a tattoo. So when I wake up every single day, I see this 10X here and I know exactly what that means. So.
Amazing.
And the thing that I love that a lot of Grant followers and fans and the ones that are true believers, to really truly understand who Grant is, you need to understand who Elena is. And that's one thing that I've learned in the last 3 months, you know, just watching you with some of the live streams, seeing you at 10X GrowthCon, like I knew what Grant was by the books, by him talking, by him doing all the things. But I really, really didn't truly see everything until I understood who you are. So I thank you for that, because it makes me even admire him more as a mentor. And I truly, truly understand what it means to build an empire and then be able to take things to the next level. So we greatly, greatly appreciate coming on and spending time with us tonight.
No royal flush is complete without a queen of hearts. So real quick, Tammy Crane. I love you, baby. You're my queen of hearts. Thank you so very much for making my royal quest complete.
Same as my wife, Marlena Warner.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Elena.
So
thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Grant.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on the show, guys.